Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to shout glory. Is he worthy to be praised? That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Can you sing it with me? Oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise. One more time. That's why. Just wave your hand. Just say, that's why. That's why my heart is filled with praise. You're sounding good. One more time for the Holy Ghost. Just say, oh, that's why my heart is filled with praise. Father God, in the name that is above every name, we recognize that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are King of Kings and that you're Lord of Lords. Lord, even in the midst of our grief, our sorrow, you've already said that everything's going to be all right. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would take us, break us if you must, but with your divine and loving hands, put us back together again. You are the great healer. And so, Lord, if in fact anybody here comes down and their hearts are down, just let them know that you are a God who knows how to turn every situation around. So we praise you in advance for what we will say through your spirit and in your power tonight. And we praise you in Jesus' name. If you love them, shout amen. Amen. Shout amen again. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for accompanying us tonight. Pastor Kemp, thank you. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Thank you for that heartfelt and wonderful selection, those selections. Give an honor to God, who is the absolute authority over my life, the God who knows and hears and knows how to adjust every situation perfectly. And there are some times in life where you know that it is God who carries you, and it is one of those times. I thank God for his spirit and for another Sabbath day and for his willingness just to be near and dear to us. And I just want to just go on record to say, what a mighty God we serve. Do you serve a mighty God? And God still deserves all of the praise that we have. I thank God for your pastor, my dear friend, somebody who I love and respect, someone who has always been very kind to me. I know that we have known each other for many, 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 many years. He has me by a few years, but he's still looking good. Come on and say amen out there. He says, E, look at all this gray stuff. I said, that ain't nothing but snow. Come on and say amen out there. I just wipe it up or put some Grecian on it. Come on and say amen and let the church roll on. Amen, amen. But I thank God for your pastor and for the way God uses him time and time again. He has a vision for this place, for this house, and I know that the best is yet to come. And I want you to invite you to follow him as he continues to follow Christ. And you're going to find that God is going to do something very, very special in this house. I also praise God for my friends who are here. I see Pam and all of you who have just been a part of my life for so many years, and it's good to see you, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. Thank God that Brenda's with me. I tend to preach a little bit better when my wife is with me. Come on and say amen out there. I don't know about tonight. I'm going to struggle through, but I do know that it is always a good to have my partner with me, and I just thank God for these 31 years that he has given us together. And they've been good years. Come on and say amen up there. Amen. Amen. It is a different season, and for these next three messages, the message for tonight, I began to ponder the Word of God. And in this time of holidays, of Christmas, New Year's, I began to think about some of the gifts that we give each other. And then I began to conclude that the greatest gifts are not the ones that we give each other, but the gifts that God has given us. And I believe that God wants to give us a few gifts, and I wanted to lift up your word. I want you to follow me because I am going somewhere. But this night, we're just going to spend just a little time in discovering a gift that I believe that God wants all of us to receive. And the first gift is, I believe that God wants to give us the gift of contentment. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, say, neighbor. God wants to give you the gift of contentment. Amen. First Timothy, and we're going to look at just for a few moments. We're going to just do some exegetical analysis, and I want you to understand that if it's not in the Word, it doesn't deserve to be heard. But if it's in the book, we're going to take a look. Come on and say amen, I think. It's never going to be what Peter said, but what Peter read. Come on and say amen out there. All right, amen. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And we're going to look at this because I believe that God wants to revive our spirits and to educate our minds as we're growing up in Him. It says in chapter 6, 1 Timothy, it says, let as many servants, verse 1, as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. Because they are faithful and beloved, partaking and partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Then he goes on and says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to, here it is, godliness, he's proud, doesn't know nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But, somebody shout out, but. Come on, shout it out, but. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Philippians 4. Turn to Philippians 4. Because every time you come into the house of God, when you are being taught by the man or woman of God that God has placed over you, you always want to bring your word in whatever apparatus that God, whether it's an iPhone or iPad, whether it's an old-fashioned Bible, whatever, always bring your word. Always bring your word. Philippians, the 4th chapter, it says, verse 11, not that I speak, this is Paul, in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can, somebody shout out, I can, do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The gift of contentment Well, when I began to look, when I was walking through this scriptural neighborhood the other day, I began to literally be impressed with this word contentment or content, how to be content. What is this gift of contentment? Because I don't know when was the last time you, Southside, heard a message on this subject of contentment. It's one of those words you don't hear talk about much. Pastor, you don't find too many amens over this concept of being content. There are very few praise parties being given over this thing called contentment. But when I was doing my analysis and the Holy Ghost was doing his teaching, when Paul was writing and recollecting and doing his analysis of this whole area of being content, he was literally, watch this, is speaking of, here it is, being content financially. Now, some of y'all ain't saying amen now, huh? What Paul is doing, watch this, and this is very apropos in the spirit of Christmas, and giving gifts, and wanting more, and all this kind of this. Paul literally was addressing false teachers who were teaching, watch this, that your religion and your success as a Christian was based on being, watch this, rich or being full of stuff and material goods. And there was a teaching, this prosperity teaching, that was going on back in the olden days. It didn't start just 20 years ago. But there was those teachers in the church that were saying that literally you could tell how blessed a person was by how much stuff that they had. In other words, if you had a big house, God really loved you. But if you just had an apartment, God kind of loved you. If you drove a big car and it was new, of course you had the greatest blessings of God on your life. But if you had a bus pass, do I have a witness? Come on and say that. You know, God likes you, but he ain't digging you all the way. Come on and say about that. And Paul was saying, wait a minute, be very, very careful of teaching like that. This whole prosperity message teaching. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, he says, now, if you hear that type of teaching, he says, from such turn away. In other words, Paul says, stay away from that crowd. Because this crowd has concluded that the more godly you are, the more stuff, the more material things you will have. Because Paul says, now you got to get it. He says, godliness, that's our game, that's our goal. He says, with contentment, he says, now that's great gain. Now, there are a few disclaimers that I really want you. Now, there is no great virtue in being poor. I'm not saying that. And Paul is not saying that. Holy Ghost is not saying that. There's no great virtue in being impoverished, because there was also in that day, watch this, an ascetic order that says, you should not have any material goods. In other words, you should dress poor. You should walk around with a sad face. You should own nothing. You should not drive anything. In other words, there was that extreme thought that says you were godly if you had nothing. And then there was that extreme thought that you were godly if you had a lot of stuff. Paul says, now, both of those extremes are not good. So Paul kind of strikes a balance. Watch this. He says, godliness with contentment, That's great gain. Now this is very important because I preach around a lot, and I'm seeing some things that are disturbing my spirit in the body of Christ, because this is a me-ism society. See, this is a society, and especially in this generation, you know, with selfies, everything is me, myself, and I. It's an age where everybody is focusing on you, on your own goals. In other words, you're transfixed with the agenda of the man or the woman in the mirror. It's an age where we are most concerned about ourselves and what I can get. And this popular sociological reality is supported by this extreme theology of the day that declares unto us that we are only somebody in God's sight if you have a whole lot of stuff. But Paul says, now, watch this. Godliness, you're going to get it in a minute, with contentment. Now, that's great gain. That's great gain. With contentment. Now, before I go anymore, because one of the things that I do is I teach, and I teach moral issues and world religions to medical students over there at Loma Linda, and making sure that they get a holistic perspective of what their servant duties are when it comes down to serving people as doctors and as medical professionals. When you look at, listen, contentment, here it is. It comes from that Greek word artakia, which, here it is, literally means sufficiency for the moment. In other words, contentment, what it means is I am sufficient at my present state. Now, don't ever, listen to me, ever confuse contentment with complacency. Paul does not say godliness with complacency. That's great gain. Now, let me break it down. Contentment is always fluid. Complacency is static. Let me work on that thing. Because whenever you're silent and you look kind of blank, you just added 5 minutes to the message. Come on and say amen out there. But I'm going to work on that thing because I'm a teacher. Watch this. Contentment, here it is always going somewhere. But complacency is settled where it is. Contentment, watch this, looks around where it is and realize that soon it ain't going to be where it is. But complacency, watch this, is stuck right where it is. You're going to get it in a minute, huh? See, contentment always looks forward because God always has the last word. But complacency, watch this, it just looks around. Contentment is always ready to go. But complacency has unpacked and put it up in drawers. See, contentment, watch this, is something that you learn. Because Paul says in Philippians, I have learned whatever state, here it is, I'm in. I can be content. Because watch this. I know, here it is, I know that I'm just passing through. See, follow me because I am going somewhere. See, contentment says, yeah, I am going in a season of grief. But I recognize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. See, contentment never pitches a tent where it is. See, contentment says, I am where I am for right now. See, but complacency, on the other hand, it says, well, I might as well get used to where I am because I ain't going nowhere. Contentment says, no, 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 I'm just passing through this thing. And the reason I can be content in this spot is because I've been in that kind of spot before. And the last time I was in a spot like this, I learned some stuff. I took out and I wrote down some notes. I wrote down some things. I memorized some things. I learned some things. So since I'm in that spot again, I will utilize what I learned the last time to take me through this time. I got to realize that I'm just passing through. See, that's contentment. Contentment says, watch this, I'm not going to just slip my wrists. I'm not going to throw up my hands. I'm not going to go out and take drugs and leave the church because I'm in a tough spot right now, because I've been there and I've done that. I'm not going to go off the deep end. I'm not going to slip my wrists. I'm not going to lose sleep because I'm broke, because the truth of the matter, Pastor, I've been broke before. Come on and say amen out there. I wish somebody would help me here tonight. See, two or three of you, I know you're all rich here in Bakersfield, but two or three of us know that phrase, you know, in every gospel song, I've been down to my last dime, and the Lord stepped in right on time. Some of us know that that's just not some church song line. Do I have a witness here today? But the last time I was broke, I learned some things. Paul says, I've learned whatsoever state that I find myself in, I've learned to be content in that state because I learned some things the last time. In fact, Paul says, I've learned to be, watch this, abase, and I've learned how to abound. Now, some of y'all, you got so cute and so high and mighty, you don't like to say amen no more, you know. Some of you have learned how to abound, but some of y'all need a few lessons in the abasement ministry. So some of y'all have learned what it's like, and you forgot what it used to be like. Now you got a few nickels to rub together, got a house to own. You know now what it's like to live high on the hog, but you haven't learned what it's like to be in the hog pen. And let me tell you, you don't have to go around looking for no hog pen. My mama used to say, if you keep on living, every now and then you're going to have some hogs sniffing around trying to pull you in the mud. Do I have a witness here today? Now, just in case you land in the hog pen, Paul says, I've been there and I've done that. I've been a base and I know how to handle a basement, and I know how to abound. I've learned how to be full and be satisfied, and I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have my pantry full, and I know how to look up there and my cabinets be empty. But you better remember, when you're pantry is full, you better remember there was a time when sardines and crackers, oh, come on, talk to me here today. Oh, you don't remember? Oh, you're too cute, Bakersfield. You don't know nothing about that sardine ministry, huh? No, don't you just sit there and act like you've always eaten filet mignon and Chateaubriand and smothered steaklets and eight-course meals. No, you better remember those sliced bologna. Hey, you remember you had that and put it on that frying pan and until that thing bubbled over. Hey, you better remember those peanut butter and jelly and beans and rice and cornbread and buttermilk sopping up those biscuits. Come on, you better talk to me. Don't you be too cute. Paul says you better remember those days. Contentment, watch this, does not just mean being satisfied, but contentment means recognizing that God is sufficient wherever you find yourself in. Because one of those things that will keep you where you are longer than you should be is because some of us are wishing that we had what somebody else had. Some people ain't got nobody because you wishing you had somebody else's somebody. Come on and say amen. Can I get a witness here today? See, ungodliness, watch this, because he says godliness with contentment. Ungodliness is to covet those things which somebody else has been blessed with. Godliness, watch this, with contentment brings much gain. So Paul says, I've learned some things. What have you learned, Paul? Now, that word learn connotes, Pastor, the idea of learning only through your experience. Only learning through experientially. Paul says, I've learned by experience. In other words, he says, I've been through some things with God. And when I went through some things with God, I learned some things about God. And the things that I've learned about God has given me a sense and a gift of contentment. So on this Friday night, I just want us to all get real and authentic and genuine in this house, because the holiday seasons, even in the church and people of faith, the holiday seasons can be so depressing. So I'm going to ask you, what are you fretting about? What are you in a panic about? What is the uneasiness in your life? What is that source of discontent in your life? Because watch this, he or she who lives a life of discontent can never be godly. Because the presence of discontent, you better get this, by definition is a lack of faith in the sufficiency of God. You are literally telling God, watch this, God, you're not enough. And when we really have God in our lives, Colossians says, when you have God, you are complete. When we really begin to know whatever we're going through, when you really get to know who you are in God, and that God has a perspective of things that we don't have. In other words, we serve a God who exists in yesterday while he occupies today, while he's penetrating tomorrow. A God who is never shocked about anything. A God who has the whole world in his hands. When you really know and have a recognition and realization who that God is, you can stand in the midst of your storm and say, God, with you, I am complete. And even though, watch this, you may not have what you think you should have at this point in your life, listen to me, somebody. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you have God, you are complete. If you have God, you have enough. If you have God, you can be content. Somebody ought to say amen out there. I am complete and I can be content because God, you are sufficient for me. I wonder, my friends here at Southside, I wonder, do you have a sufficiency and contentment in him? I really wanted to get into your business. I didn't really want to shout you tonight. We'll get into some shouting, but I wanted you to understand that this gift of contentment is something that we should ask for. See, as you look at where you are, at your career, at your job, at your relationships, at your finances, as you look where you are, watch this. Do you really find a sufficiency in Christ? Now listen to me, because I don't want you to leave here. Being content does not mean you do not have any desire to progress. It means, here it is, that I am content at where I am right now, because watch this, because I know that God is a seasonal God. follow me because I'm going somewhere. I can literally be content because I know that my God is a seasonal God. There is, my friends, tonight, there is and there are, in fact, seasons in the operations of God. And I realize that the seasonal dimensions of the character of God is, watch this, cyclical, or goes in cycles, has cycles. That's why Paul says, I've learned, watch this, how to be abased, that means down here, and I also know how to abound and to handle success. I know how to handle when I'm down, and I know how to handle when I'm up. Why? Because I recognize now that there are seasons in the operations of God. Now, watch this. Discontent will always come when you allow yourself to be convinced that the season that you find yourself in will be the season that you will always be in. See, you didn't get that. See, discontent comes when you and I conclude that the season that I'm in, I'm in a grieving season. That's the season that I'm in. I got to get honest. Some people think, oh, you're a preacher. You don't have enough faith. No. Jesus wept. Jesus went through some grief. But I recognize that even in my grief, that God is sufficient for my need. But I become discontent. Watch this. If I conclude that I will never get past this season. See, when you and I conclude that we have already arrived in our final season, that there is no reason for hope. And if we have no hope, that's when the enemy will get to us. Because the enemy always tries to work on this whole thing called hope. See, the enemy knows that if I can get into your psyche and tell you that you'll never get beyond where you are, then you give up your hope. And if you have no hope, you can have no faith. Because watch this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so he tries to rob you of your hope. And if you have no hope, you can have no faith. And he recognized without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you have no faith, watch this. And if you're not pleasing God, there's only one person that you'll be pleasing, and that's him. Because this is not a multiple choice thing. We're either on God's side or on devil's side. And the devil starts with trying to rob us of our hope. Somebody better say amen out there. See, the devil will try to, wherever you are, and some of you are in a season where your mind is saying, it ain't never going to get better. And now you have grown in the church, in the pews, where you are in the very fabric of your life. You have come to the conclusion, it ain't going to get no better. And that's why there's no victory. That's why there's no joy, because you have yielded to the devil's lie. That you ain't going to get no better. And there's not going to be another season. The devil is a liar. And hang on to your hope. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody here tonight needs the gift of contentment. Because you have concluded that you have arrived in your final season. But godliness says, that I've learned that whatever season, temporary season that I'm in, I'm going to be content. Not complacent, but content. In other words, you're going to say, God, you are sufficient for my present state. Because I know, hallelujah, that my God is a seasonal God. Now let me get real with you tonight. There are pros and cons about this seasons of God. The first thing, let me just unearth the bad thing about this whole seasons of God concept. The bad thing is, listen, you can miss your season. Yeah, that's bad news. Did you know that you can miss your season of blessing? Sin in your life can cause you to miss your season. Covetousness and envy can cause you to miss your season. A spirit of unforgiveness, and we're getting toward the end of the year. Whatever you need to forgive, you need to let it go. Somebody ought to say amen. Because if you don't forgive, it may cause you to miss your season. Ungodliness and unrighteousness can cause you to miss your season. A negative spirit. You know some saints in the house of God are so negative? Come on and say amen there. I mean, you see it on that. They never smile. They always look down. They always pray down. They always look down. They always are down. Some of them just low down. Come on and say amen out there. Negative spirit can cause you to miss your season. Anger and bitterness can cause you to miss your season. Did you know you can be too mean for God to bless you? You can be so bitter over that last relationship that you can miss the blessing of the present season and that God wants you to experience. That's a bad thing about this whole concept about the seasons of God. You can literally miss your season. You can miss your season. You really can. But the good news is that if you keep on living, and I'm glad I'm alive tonight. Yes, sir. If you keep on living, the seasons roll around again. Isn't God a good God? Come on and say amen. Because let the truth be told, some of us, I know y'all are too holy who's never blown it in your life. I know y'all too holy. I know this is a sinless, perfect church. So I'm talking just to me. The truth be told, some of us have blown it. We've messed up. In other words, some of us have missed our season. We had a season, and we've missed it. We've messed it up. But if God keeps you alive, and somehow, unfortunately, you've missed your summer season, and that summer season rolls into fall, and that fall rolls into winter. If you keep on living, fall will turn into winter, and then winter, it might be a long one. After every winter, hallelujah, comes spring. In other words, after that, the summer rolls around again. See, you ought to encourage yourself tonight because there's another season coming. Now, let me go home on this. So my contentment comes from the fact that, hallelujah, if we keep on living, we have another season coming. See, it does not matter what state that I'm in right now. My contentment comes from knowing that God is going to meet me in my present season and take me from there to where he wants me to be. Paul says, I've learned how to go without nothing, and I've learned how to survive and celebrate when I had my pockets full. I've learned how to drive around in my Lexus, and I've learned how to celebrate and praise God when I didn't have a dime in my pocket and I was bumming rides. I've been down, Paul says. Yeah, he says, I've been down. I've been down without a dime in my pocket. I've been down to the bottom of the pit. I've been so far down that I had to jump up just to touch the bottom. I've been down, but I learned some things when I was down, and I don't ever, ever forget it, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Now, nobody, Paul says,
taught me that while I was in the seminary. I did not read that in any book. I did not look at it in the writings of the prophets. I've been through some things. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in prison. I've been stoned. I've been beaten. I've been talked about. I've been lied on. I've been criticized. I've been used and abused. I've been through the storm. I've been through hard times. I've been through trials. I've been through difficulties. I had to climb up the rough side of the mountain. But I've discovered that if God be for you, nothing can come against you. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that God is able. Somebody ought to say amen out there. I've learned some things that I can share with you right now. That if you keep your hands in God's hand, if you keep your eyes fixed on God, don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't throw up your hands. Don't throw in the towel. Don't turn your backs. Don't shut your eyes. Don't walk away from the message. Because if you hold on, God has a blessing with your name on it. Yes, yes, hallelujah, yes. Somebody ought to say amen out there. Because contentment says I can have joy right now. So the devil may have taken away my friends. The devil may take away my money. The devil may take away my parents. He may take away my relationships. But I declare he ain't going to take away my joy. Because if he doesn't have my joy, he cannot have my strength. Because the joy of the Lord, I wish I had a witness, is my strength. Because I'm in God's hand. And I'm just passing through. Somebody shout out, I'm just passing through. So devil, don't you mess with me. I've been in some ditches. I've been knocked down before. Yeah, I've had to go hungry before. I've been broke. I've been in trouble. But I learned whatever state I'm in. I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content, because when I hold on, he'll show up, and when he shows up, he'll show out. He'll turn this place out in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. And so I say it's time, Southside, to rise up and take back what the devil has stolen. It's time to restore the joy of our salvation. So go get your joy back. Go get your children back. Go get your money back. Go get your sanctification. Go get your career back. Go get your smile back. Go get your uplifted head back. Go get your job back. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. See, contentment says, I'm going to sit right here and steady myself. Yeah, let the winds blow, but I'm going to keep on praising God. Let friends walk out, but I'm going to keep on praising God. Let me cry in the midnight hour, but I'm going to keep on praising God. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I felt so all alone, but in those lonely hours, in those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was one of his own. Through it all. Through it all. I said through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Through it all. Now just because. Through it all. Just play that for me. Just make sure when God does show up that you're ready to go. Make sure that whenever he shows up, you won't have anything holding you back. Make sure when God does show up, you can step out in Jesus' name.
So I declare, God, give me the gift of contentment, because that just says that I can be satisfied where I am, because God is sufficient. I remember years ago when I was flying with my oldest daughter back from D.C. We laid over in, I believe it was in St. Louis. And I had some enough points that I could go into the lounge where they house those frequent flyers in between flights. And because I did not change my watch, I thought it was a little bit earlier than it was. And I went in and I looked at my clock. I said, oh man, we have plenty of time. And then I looked up at the clock. I found out that we just had a few moments to catch before the flight left. But when we were leaving, one of the people said, can I serve you any drinks? Can I serve you anything? I said, man, I'd love it, but I don't have any time. I'll miss my flight. I'm getting ready to make a connection, and I can't get too comfortable where I am, because my flight is about to take off, and I can't stay here very long. See, you got to get this. My friends, wherever God has you tonight, you need to tell the devil, I don't need no refreshments up in here. I don't need to unpack my bags because I'm just making a connection. And in a few moments, I'm going to mount up with wings as eagles. And I'm going to fly on to my next blessing. Come on and say amen to him. See, the devil finds you now in an unemployment line. You tell the devil, don't you serve me any refreshments. Because in a few minutes, God is going to have me making a connection. I'm on my way to my next blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm on my way to my next blessings. And contentment is not complacency, but it is standing up, pacing the floor, not in anxiety, but in anticipation for God's next move. Ain't God all right? Can you just sing that for me? Through it all? Come on.
Oh, through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Hey, hey!
Learn to trust in God.
Can I have a witness here? Come on.
Through it all.
Oh,
through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word.
Everybody standing to your feet if you can. Just say, through it all.
Oh, through it all. Through it all.
I've
learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all.
See, that's the operative word, through.
Through it all.
I've learned
to depend upon his word.
So I thank him for the mountain. And I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the things he brought me through. But if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. And I wouldn't know with faith in his word could do. That's why I lift up our hands and say, through it all, come on.
Through it all.
Through it all.
Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God. Put up both hands and say, through.
Through it all.
Hey!
Through it all.
I've learned.
I've learned to depend upon His word.
Father God, in the name that is above every name, the first gift that you want to give us for this Christmas holiday season is the gift of contentment. And thank you, Lord, for giving us a clear definition, because some of us have mistakenly thought that being content is to be complacent. But you taught us tonight through your Spirit and through your word that you are a God who's able to keep us in our present season, and we're just passing through. So we thank you, Lord, for the mountaintop experiences and the valleys, because they teach us that you are sufficient when we're up and you're sufficient when we're down. And God, give us the strength tonight to hold on to our hope. We tell the devil now that you are a liar. I may be where I am for where I am, but I'm not going to eat any refreshments, because God is about to take me to my next blessing. But while I wait on God tonight, I'm going to hang on to His unchanging hand. So I thank you, Lord, for this great pastor who had in his mind this vision of this holiday revival. And I thank you for the privilege of traveling mercies and me being able just to be with my brothers and sisters here. You knew many months ago when the pastor called that I would be going through my season. But right now, Lord, I'm learning how to be content. So as I preach and teach, I'm also listening. So take us from where we are to where you desire us to be. And I thank you. If those of you who want to receive the first gift, that is the gift of contentment, just put your hands in the air. Thank you, Lord. You see the hands. Help us to be content in all things. In Jesus' name. Can you put both of those hands together and receive the word tonight? Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. I've learned. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His word. Oh, I've learned. Oh,
I've learned to depend upon His word.
One more time.
I've learned to depend upon His word.
Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. Put your hands together.